Today's daf is Zvachim daf Nuntes, and we are two lines from the bottom of daf Nunches Amidbeis. So yesterday, we began the sixth perek in Masechta Zvachim, perek Kodshei Kodashim, which, as we saw, picks up with a fifth perek left off, and that is Ezeu Mikoyman Shal Zvachim. The Mishnah began with a chiddush that even though Kodshei Kodashim Shechitasim B'Tzafon, stating that Rosh HaMizbeach is like Tzafon, according to Rabbi Yossi, the entire Mizbeach, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, only the Tzofen part of the Mizbeach, but the bottom line is, Rosh HaMizbeach has a din of Tzofen. We explained that maybe that's why the Akedah took place, but Rosh HaMizbeach, even though the Pasuk says clearly that Hashem told Avram, Kachnas binchas yechidcha asher ahavta, v'haleu lo'ila. Yitzchak had a din of an oila. If you had a din of an oila, and the Rambam says, b'miktash nekad Yitzchak, like the Brisker Rav was medayek, that the Akedah went with a mahalach of mikdash, meaning it was governed by the Shulchan Aruch that governs avodos that were done in the Beis HaMikdash, wasn't there a halach of tzofen? The teretz is this Mishnah. Avraham Avinu was going like the Mishnah. In Masechet Zvachim daf nun ches amud alef, that kachi kedoshim sheshachnim b'rosh HaMizbeach, ki'ilu nishchutav b'tzofen. Either way, from there, the Gemara digressed a little bit into a discussion where exactly was the Mizbeach. Meaning, was the Mizbeach b'tzofen? Maybe it was bedarim. Perhaps it was chetzi b'tzofen and chetzi bedarim. And in the course of its lengthy, detailed, technical discussion, the Gemara mentioned a Mishnah Masechtas Tamid. The Mishnah was discussing the Maroch HaShnia that was on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. The purpose of the Maroch HaShnia was twofold. Number one, the Kohen every day would take coals from the Maroch HaShnia, bring it into the Heichal, and use those coals for the Ketores that was brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Additionally, on Shabbos, when the Shnei Bzichei Levoina were burned on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, they weren't burnt on the Maroch HaGedayla, but rather they were burnt on this Maroch HaShnia. The Mishnah says that it was important for the Maroch HaShnia to be Keneged the Pesach of the Oil Moed, and as a result, it had to be removed 4 amos to the north of the Kerem Maravis Deroimus. And somehow by doing that, it would end up being Mul Pesach Oil Moed. And the Gemara backed in, therefore, to a position of what the Tana of that Mishnah must have held about where geographically the Mizbeach was in the Azar. Because if the Mizbeach was completely on the Dharm side of the Azara, then moving the Maroch HaShnia 4 amas from the Kerem Maravis Deroimus wouldn't really get you very far. You would have to move it 27 amas or 22 amas. You'd have to move it really, really far. The Gemara Lemaisa came out that the Tana that Mishnah could hold either the entire Mizbeach was Bitzafin or the Mizbeach was Chetzi Bidarim Chetzi Bitzafin. There was a Mahalach to make it work with each one of those positions. Regardless, the Gemara picks up on that note. Again, we discussed that in great detail in yesterday's daf. But on that note, trying to understand who the Tana of that Mishnah is. Says the Gemara of Rav Shravya, Amar Rav Shravya, says, Amar Rabbi Yosi Aglili, you know the Tana of that Mishnah is, it's Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Meaning the Mishnah is going that the entire Mizbeach was Bitzafin, but the Tana of the Mishnah that holds that the entire Mizbeach was Bitzafin is Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Where do we find this Rabbi Yosi Aglili? The Tanya, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, Yomer, Mitoich Shenem of Nasato, Sakir, Bein Oyo Moyed, Uvein HaMizbeach V'Nosato Shomoyim. And it also says, the shochat oisoi v'mizbach b'pesach oil moiv loikir b'pesach oil moiv heichan hoyer noisnoi. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili had a stira. He had two psukim in the Torah that he believed contradicted themselves. Number one, there's a pasuk that says that the kir was supposed to be between the oil moiv and the mizbeach. So it sounds like you want to know where the kir is. It's in the azara. It's smack between the oil moiv and the mizbeach. Mitzad sheni, Rabbi Yosi Aglili had another pasuk that seemed to suggest that the mizbeach had to be facing the entrance of the Oyel Moed, and there couldn't be anything else between the Mizbeach and the Oyel Moed. So the question was, it's a stira. Here you say that the key is supposed to be between the Mizbeach and the Oyel Moed, and here I have a pasuk that says that nothing is supposed to be between the Mizbeach and the Oyel Moed, meaning the Mizbeach itself is what's supposed to be Pesach Oyel Moed. So as for Yosi Aglili, Heichan Hoyu Noitznoi, so how did you make this work? How do you reconcile these two psukim? So he says, Beino Ulam, Ulam Mizbeach, Mashuch, you're right. You have to say that although the pasuk says that the kir was supposed to be between the oil moed and the mizbeach, it wasn't literally between the oil moed and the mizbeach. It was mashuch kimo. It was removed a little bit to the darim side of the mizbeach, but not literally between the mizbeach and the oil moed, because it's true, there's a pasuk that says, V'nosate sakir ben oil moed u'vein ha-mizbeach, but there's another pasuk that says, V'es mishkan ha-oilo sham pesach So I have to reconcile these two psukim. I'm forced to say that the pasuk that says that the kir was between the oil moed and the mizbeach is not meant to be taken literally. The problem is, and this is really the backdrop for the next half of Amud Gemara, is why is it a stira? If you look at the pasuk that says that the kir had to be between the oil moed and the mizbeach, it says v'nasata sakir bein oil moed u'bein mizbeach. So as long as it's between an area called oil moed and an area called mizbeach, it's going to be fine. When the pasuk says v'is mizbeach ha'oila som pesach mishkan oil moed, the Torah says that the mizbeach ha'oila had to be by the pesach of the mishkan oil moed, specifically by the pesach. So why can't you just draw it up that the Mizbeach Ha'olah is going to be by the Pesach of the Mishkan Oyel Moed, meaning there's going to be nothing between the Mizbeach and the Pesach of the Oyel Moed, stating that the Pesach was only 10 amos wide. So that it's possible to put the Kiyar a little to the Darim side of the Pesach of the Oyel Moed, but it could still be between the Oyel Moed and the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is 32 amos. It's a 32 amos square. The Pesach is only 10 amos. So it's true, there can't be anything between the Pesach of the Oyel Moed and the Mizbeach. But nobody says there can't be anything between the Oyel Moed and the Mizbeach. The criteria, that second pasuk that Rabbi Yosef Aglili quoted said, "Veis Mizbeach Oyel Osam Pesach Mishkan Oyel Moed." So you're right, you'll have nothing between the Pesach of the Oyel Moed and the Mizbeach. But at the same time, you'll be able to have the kir between the Oyel Moed and the Mizbeach, not between the Pesach of the Oyel Moed and the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yosef Aglili felt that that wasn't a possibility. So much so that Rabbi Yosef Aglili said, I have no choice but to distort the simple meaning of the Pasuk and say that even though the Torah seems to want you to put the kir literally bein Oyel Moed and bein Mizbeach, it's not going to be literally. It's going to be Moshuch Kimo Klapei Dorim. So the Gemara is going to say now, from here you see what Rabbi Yosef Aglili must have thought in terms of where exactly the Mizbeach was, and based on the way his blueprint of the Azara was, there was no way to make these two things work. And let's just play it out. Inside. It says the Gemara, my Kusava, what is Rabbi Yitzhak Lili hold? In terms of where the Mizbeach was in the Azara, if he held that the entire Mizbeach was Bidarim, so what's the stira? Like we just spoke out, so what's the big deal? Why can't there be nothing between the Pesach Oyel Moed and the Mizbeach, and just move the Kiyar to the Darim side of the Pesach? The whole Pesach that's on the Darim side is going to be Sach HaKol 5 Amos, because the entire Pesach of the Oyel Moed was 10 Amos. 5 of it is on the Tzafen side, 5 of it is going to be on the Darim side. Just have 5 Amos where there's nothing between the Mizbeach and the Oyel Moed. That's how you Mekayim the second Pasuk Veis Mizbeach Oyel Osam Pesach Mishkan Oyel Moed, and right to the Darim side of where the Pesach is, Bein Oyel Moed of Ein Mizbeach, you're going to put the Kir. What's the big deal? Additionally, and if you're going to tell me, Dainu bein ulam the mizbeach inami kusavak kedushas heichal ulam chadi. And even if you're going to tell me, the Rabbi Yosef really holds that kedushas ulam the heichal is chada, which means, as we saw in yesterday's daf, today's daf is a continuation of yesterday's daf, the first part of it, so that the Pesach ha'ulam is treated like the Pesach ha'heichal. So that if the Torah says ve'is mizbeach ha'ulosam Pesach mishkan oil moed, it also means that it has to be some Pesach mishkan ha'ulam. So if the kir can't be between the Mizbeach and the Pesach HaHechel, it also can't be between the Mizbeach and the Pesach Ulam, but it's still not such a big deal. Nukme mikoysel ulam uladarin. Bein ulam the Mizbeach. It's still not a problem, because how wide was the Pesach Ulam? It was 20 amos wide, which means 10 amos of it was on the Tzafen side, 10 amos of it was on the Darim side. If the entire Mizbeach is on the Darim side, and the Mizbeach is a 32 amos square, so even if you don't want to put the kir between the Pesach Ulam and the Mizbeach, so 10 amos of it is off limits. But there's a lot more space. There's more of the ulam beyond the Pesach, which is considered oil moed if you hold that the Kedushas Heichel and the Kedushas Ulam is Chada, and just put the kir between the Mizbeach and that area. So clearly, if Rabbi Yosef really felt there was no way to reconcile this psukim, he was not of the opinion that the entire Mizbeach was on Darim. Because if the Mizbeach was on Darim, it's easy. And the Gemara says the same will be true, not because of a Chatzib is of a Chatzib Darim. Even if Rabbi Yosef really holds that the Mizbeach was Chatzib is of a Chatzib Darim, the same Chesmim we just made, Nukmi Mikoisel Heichel Ulu Darim, it's still not a problem. Because if half of the Mizbeach was on Darim, half of the Mizbeach was 16 Amos. Let's just speak it out outside. How wide is the Pesach HaHechel that's on the Darim side? The entire Pesach is 10. It's split between Darim and Tzafen. So 5 Amos are on the Darim side. And even if you want to work with the entire Pesach HaUlam, because you're going to tell me, Ketushas HaHechel, Ketushas Ulam Chadehi, the Pesach Ulam was 20 Amos, which means half of it is 10. So at the end of the day, there's still going to be 6 Amos, because there's 16 Amos of Mizbeach on the Dorim side, and the most there is 10 Amos of Pesach on the Dorim side, which means there's still 6 Amos of Mizbeach. There's a little bit of Ulam on the Dorim side of the Pesach where you could put the Kir. So you'll be able to be Mekayim and Asato Sakir ben Ayol Moed Uvein Mizbeach, and you'll also be Mekayim Beis Mizbeach Oilosam Pesach Mishkan Ayol Moed. So see in Tzavina Mikasavar, says the Gemara, Chetzi B'Tzavi Chetzi B'Dorim Nukmi Mikoysal Heichel Uladorim Bein Ulam Mizbeach Vinami Kasavak Dushas Ulam Heichel Chodehis. You can't put it right to the Dorim of the Heichel, because it's still not, you're still not going to have the Mizbeach Mul Pesach the Ulam, and you're saying now Kedushas Ulam Vehechol Chodi. But okay, so Nukmi Mikoysel Ulam Uladarim Bein Ulam Ulam Mizbeach. What's the problem? There's still six Amos to play with. Elamav Mishum the Kasavar. It must be Rabbi Yosef Aglili held Kulam Mizbeach Bitzafin. The entire Mizbeach was the Tzafin. Kinami mukmesla the gersois are meshubashir. Kinami mukmesla mikoisal hechel ulatzafin havelei bein ulam ulamizbeach. Either way, the bottom line is, it says the Gemara, the only way to understand why Rabbi Yosef Aglili couldn't learn these psukim kipshutai is because he held the entire mizbeach was bitzafin. So what if the entire mizbeach is bitzafin? If the entire mizbeach is bitzafin, then there's no way to move the kir to the darim side of the mizbeach and for it to still be between the mizbeach and the ayol moed. Because if you're going to move it to the darim side of the mizbeach, then there's going to be no mizbeach on the other side of it. So the only way to understand why Rabbi Yosef Aglili had a mevucha and had no way of understanding the psukim is by understanding that Rabbi Yosef Aglili must have held him at time as Beich was betzafin. But the Gemara asks the obvious question, and that is, v'nukmi mikoysa ulam uletzafin v'bein ulam uletzbeich, why can't you just put the kir on the tzafin side, make the same exact cheshbon that the Gemara made? Meaning, we're saying, you had a, somehow we're working with this premise that the kir was going to be to the south, to the darim side of the mizbeach. If it's going to be the darim side to the mizbeach, and the mizbeach is completely betzafin, then obviously it's not going to be bein oyel moed or bein mizbeach. But why couldn't the kir just be on the tzafin side? Oh my God, Rabbi Yosef Aglili knew the following pasuk: tzafina, there's an extra hay she ate tzafin ponami kalim, that there was not allowed to be any kalim on the tzafin side of the mizbeach. I mean that there couldn't be any kalim and it had to be on the darim. And Rabbi Yosef Aglili held that the entire mizbeach was betzafin. So if you're going to now move the, put the kir on the darim side, obviously it's not bein ulam ulam mizbeach. Very simple. So if it's not bein ulam ulam mizbeach, the pasuk says v'nasata sakir bein ayol moed v'ein mizbeach, must be it was mashuch kima klape hadarim. But the pasuk's not supposed to be taken literally. Says the gemara, man tana the pasuk led Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Who is a tana that argues with Rabbi Yosef Aglili? Rabbi Blessed ben Yaakov. Tanya went to the brayz. Rabbi Blessed ben Yaakov Omer tzafina she ate tzafin panu miklum va'afilu min hamizbeach. Wow. So Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds tzafina has to be panu min hakelim. That's how he knew that the kir couldn't be on tzafin. And that's how he knew that he had no choice but to distort the literal meaning of the pasuk regarding the kir. There happens to be a shitas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that holds tzafina, that there was nothing on the tzafin part of the mizbeach. Even the mizbeach itself couldn't be betzvayna ishal azar. Either way, so there were three shitas in the Gemara of exactly where the mizbeach was. We had one shita that said that it was on the tzafin part of the azar, kulim mizbeach betzafin hay. Rabbi Yochanan started the sugi that said, Omer Hoy Rabbi Yosef, the Mizbeach was Kuloi Betzafin. We had Rabbi Yosef Aglili now. We just saw from this Bryce, Rabbi Yosef Aglili also holds the entire Mizbeach was Betzafin. We had Rabbi Yehuda Shita yesterday that the Mizbeach was Chetzi Bedarim, Chetzi Betzafin. We just had a Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says there couldn't be anything Betzafin. Even the Mizbeach, Tzafayna Shei Panoi, there couldn't be a Kier in Tzafin. There couldn't even be a Mizbeach in Tzafin. Meaning it was Kuloi Bedarim. So three sheets. Was it Kuloi Betzafin? Was it Kuloi Bedarim? Or was it Chatzi Betzafin, Chatzi Bedarim? Now this is all with regards to the Mizbeach HaChitzai. What about the Mizbeach HaPnimi? What about the Mizbeach HaKtayrus that was inside the Heichel? So that's a Rashi Chumash. Rashi says in Parshas Truma that the Mizbeach HaPnimi was Memutza, it was smack in the middle of the Heichel. Between the Shulchan on the one side, the Menorah on the other side, facing the Aron, it was in the middle of the Heichel. So literally the midpoint of the Heichel, right in the smack in the middle, that's exactly, says Rashi HaChumash, where the Mizbeach HaPnimi was. There's an interesting tshuva from the Chasam Sofer, and it's interesting that the Netzivin, his Meshav Dover, was kemat mechaven to the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. The shayla that was asked to the Chasam Sofer was, there was a shul that was knocked down. It was a small shul, and Nisrabu Asaf Solin, they were making an extension, building campaign, the whole nine yards, and now they're building a new shul, albeit a bigger shul. And when they designed the bigger shul, so the architect drew it up with the bima, instead of it being in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses, it was going to be towards the front of the Beis HaKnesses. Now, the previous shul had the bima in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses, the way most shuls have it, but apparently the architect drew it up where it was going to be really, really nice by doing it this way. It was pushed for aesthetic purposes. It was going to be in the front of the Beis HaKnesses. And then a Shaila tumult broke out. Are you even allowed to do that? Maybe a Beis HaKnesses is dafka supposed to be, the bima is supposed to be in the middle. Who says you're even allowed to put it in the front? So the Shaila was sent to the local rabbi who forwarded the Shaila over to the Chassam Sofer. He wanted to know the Chavis Das of the Chassam Sofer. Is it okay to build a shul where the bima is going to be in the front of the shul? So the emphasis is, it's a Mefurish Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah, Perikir Aleph Halacha Gimel says, Boinim Teva Be'emtza Beis HaKnesses. He's supposed to make sure that the bima, which the Rambam explains, was used for Kriyas HaTorah, it was used for the Rabbanim to get up and you know, to speak from behind the pulpit. That was the purpose of the bima. And the Rambam says the bima was built Be'emtza Beis HaKnesses. Why? Kidei Sheyishmu Kulam B'Shavu. And he gives a very practical reason for it. Because you just want it to be equidistant from everybody. If you're going to be in the front, now people that sit in the back aren't going to be able to hear so well. And if it's going to be in the back, people in the front. And if it's going to be to the one side, people on the other side won't be able to hear. So you just put it in the middle, says the Rambam, very push it, praktish, kadesh, yishmu, kulam, b'shava, like this. Everybody is going to be able to hear equally. Says the Kesef Mishnah, that based on the time of the Rambam, I think we could be melamed tzchus on something that I've seen. Because he said, I've walked into Bati Knesias and I see the bimas in the front of the shul. And really, it's connected to Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam says it's supposed to be in the middle. The Teretz is very posh, because the Rambam himself gave a reason for it. He said the reason is kadesh, yishmu, b'shava. So he says, once upon a time, there were very large kehilos and there were big shuls where the bima would have been on one side of the shul, maybe you wouldn't have been able to hear from the other side of the shul. But he says, today, most shuls are small, you have kleine shtiblach, they're not so big, and it doesn't matter where you're sitting, you can hear just as good. So it says this Kesavishne, he says it's based on that I want to be melamed tzchus on the fact that I've seen many shuls where people, they put the bima in the front, but the bottom line is, the Chassam Sofer says, and he tells the shoyel, this rav, Yofa Kivein, of course, you know, you went immediately to the right place. Somebody asks you a shayla, you're supposed to open up a Rambam, Ahava, Hilchas Tfilo, Perik Yeralef, Alocha Gimel, and you're supposed to show this Kesef Mishnah where it sounds like it's not the end of the world. Kesef Mishnah already said he saw it, and the Kesef Mishnah said already that he was Malamed Chos, so it doesn't sound like it's such a big deal. But Lemaisa, the Chassam Sofer himself wasn't happy with it. And the Chassam Sofer asked the Geshmak HaKasha, yes, that we all know the Gemara Masech HaSukkah, the Gemara talks about the shul that existed in Alexandria. Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishalei Ra, Diyuflustun Shal Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, Lai Ra Bekfoidin Shal Yisrael. It was so unbelievable. It was an amazing sight to see. And the Gemara goes on to say that you had this massive shul where there were thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews that davened there. And it was such a big shul that it was impossible to hear anything. So what happened was, when the Shliach Tzibur would get up and he would say Chazar Sashatz, he would go Moedim, he would say Kaddish, and they would pick up these flags and they would wave flags like this. People knew that the bracha was being said to answer Amen. This is a makar that you could answer Amen even if you didn't actually hear the bracha. Oh, discussion in halacha. But the bottom line is, that's what they used to do. Says the Chassam Sofer, go through that Braisa inside. Listen to a diak of the Chassam Sofer. So the Braisa says that Kol Misha Leiro Du Filustin Shal Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim Leiro Bikfayin Shal Yisrael. Kimin Besilki Gedoy Lahoisa Stav Lefnim Mistav. Pamim Shahayu Kiflayim Kiyotze Mitzrayim. That's a very big number. Fayu ba ayin aleph kitad roi shel zahav kineged ayin aleph shel sanhedri gedoyla. Kol achas v'achas inu p'chusa mi'asorim v'achas riba kikrei zahav. U'bima shel eitz, and there was a bima. Where was the bima? Be'emtzias, in the middle of the shul. V'chazen ha'knesis oymed aleh, v'asudorim b'yaday, v'kimen shegiy lan is amen, halam men of besudor v'chol ha'am, oynim amen. Right, they used to put all the accountants together, all the lawyers together, because they felt that, you know, nobody wants to share trade secrets. If you put all the accountants, no one's going to want to talk. They don't want to tell anyone who their clients are, or, you know, what the latest regs are, or whatever. It's like this. They felt this would be a good school to get people not to talk so much. This is before people used to whatever. But that's what they used to do. But the bottom, faith, I'm sorry for it, I don't understand. You have this massive shul. You have literally hundreds of thousands of Jews. If that's what the Gemara says. And with it, nobody can hear anything. They're waving flags in Yom Tov and Nevachim, right? Pashas, you should be able to answer, Amen. But where was the Bima? It was the Emtza Beis HaKnesses. If the Kesef Mishnah is right, in the way he understands the Rambam, that the whole purpose of putting the Bima, Be'emtza Beis HaKnesses, is for practical reasons, so people should be able to hear equally. So why did the Gemara have to emphasize that the Bima was in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses? There was no practical significance to anyways flags. See, you could have put it on the side, you could have another flag, says the Chassam Sofer. Nobody heard. I mean, this was, you couldn't hear anything anyways. So why was there a kpeda to make sure that the Bima was going to be in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses? Says the Chassam Sofer, it's clear to me from this Gemara that it's not just practical that you're supposed to put the Bima in the Emtza of the Beis HaKnesses. That's the way it's supposed to be. A Beis HaKnesses has a Tzura. And the Tzura of the Beis HaKnesses is that there's a Bima in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses. There's an Aron Kodesh in the front, the rabbi's chair one side, the president on the other side, and you have a Bima in the middle. That's the way Yeshua is supposed to look. And that is the Tzura of a Beis HaKnesses, regardless of whether you could hear or you can hear. What does the Kesef Mishnah mean? It's the Ayin Shom B'Chassam Sofer, if you want to look it up. It's an Erechayim Simin Chof Ches, where the Chassam Sofer discusses this Kesef Mishnah. But he says the bottom line is that that's the way it's supposed to be. The question is why? Where does this Tzura come from? So he says, I believe it comes from the fact that we know that a Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Ma'at. And the Beis HaKnesses was supposed to try to make it as similar to the Beis HaMikdash as we could possibly make it. And just like the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal had a Mizbeach. The Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the Mizbeach HaPnimi was in the middle of the Heichal. That's where it was. It wasn't on the front. It wasn't on the back. He says, don't you think you could have argued that maybe the Mizbeach should have been a little closer to the Aron Kodesh? To the Aron, make it as close to Lefnai v'Lefnim as possible. But there was a Tzura. The Tzura was, it was supposed to be B'merkaz. It was supposed to be B'emsa. That's where it was supposed to be. And as a result, our Mikdash Ma'at was supposed to make it as similar as possible. And he brings rayas that the Bima is somehow related to the Mizbeach. He says, Hishana Rabbah, we take our Hishanas and we're makif the Bima. Just like once upon a time, they were makif the Mizbeach. Regardless, the Bima is like the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Why the Mizbeach HaPnimi? Because the Beis HaKnesses is inside. So it's like the Heichal, and by the Heichal, it's a Rashi Chumash says, I'm sorry, for everybody agrees this is the way it's supposed to be. That's the bottom line. It's interesting, the Netziv was asked a very similar Shaila. It's a Meshav Dovar, Chelek Aleph Simin Tezvav. And again, same Shaila. Question was, can you build a shul where you're going to put the Bima towards the front, closer to the Aron Kodesh, not being in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses? And he writes a very, very similar tshuva to the Chassam Sofer. Comes from a little bit of a different angle, but the same punchline, that the reason the Bima is supposed to be in the middle isn't simply for practical reasons, but it's because it's a Mikdash Ma'at and it's supposed to be doimed to the Beis HaMikdash, and in the Heichal, the Mizbeach HaPnimi was in the middle, so therefore this is supposed to be in the middle as well. But it's interesting the way he starts it. He says that I'm a little worried. Do I think it's such a big deal? He says, no, I don't think it's such a big deal. But you know, this is something that you're changing Mesoira, and you're doing it before Hesia. You know, to change Mesoira, Shtil HaHayit is one thing. B'chadri Chadorim, B'lel Shimurim, where no one's watching, and Yeshamim Ben Amazikin, you know, maybe you can get away with it. But to do it before Hesia, that every Amoritz is going to walk into Shul, and he's going to see, they already moved the Bima to the front. You know, one Shinui is going to lead to another Shinui. He says, I don't think this is such a big deal. But you know what? It is a slippery slope, and it can lead to something very, very bad. You know, the Chassam Sofer very often used to write in his tshuvas, whenever somebody would present him with a new idea, he would say, Chadash is awesome. It's a famous line from the Chassam Sofer. He quotes it in this tshuva right here, and the Netziv also says it. He says, "Al zeh nemar kol chodesh asim in atayra." So they were both mechaben to the same lines as well. But the bottom line is just something light and interesting that's learned out from this sugya. Zok de Gemara, and the next Gemara is a classic when you're in Brisk. Zok de Gemara, Amarav Mizbeach shenifgam. If the Mizbeach was Nifgam, meaning it was ruined. Kol hakochim shenishchut usham psulam. A new halacha. So if the Mizbeach Achitzayim became pogum, part of it got chopped off, for example. So all kochim that you shecht at the time that the Mizbeach is Nifgam, or all kochim that you shechted before the Mizbeach was Nifgam, but you didn't have a chance yet to complete the avodah with that carbon, is possible. Said Rav, Umikra haya biyadenu. We had a pasuk once upon a time to support this halacha, which chachnu, but I can't remember the pasuk. He saw the Rav Kahana, when Rav Kahana came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Ashkechid, Rav Shimon, Rabbi, to come, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosi. So he overheard the following memra that Reb Shimon the Rebbe was saying in the name of Reb Shimon Rabbi Yosef. And was Beich Shenif Shkal Kachin Zichus Shlam Sulam. How do you know this halacha that it is Beich Shenifkam? All the kachin are possible. Shenema v'zavachta olav es eloi secha v'eshlamecha v'chi olav ato zeveach. Were you supposed to really shech the karbonis on top of the mizbeach? So yesterday we saw two pshatim. Rashi said in Chumash, what does olav mean? Olav means next to it. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda in the first mission, the parak said, "What does olav mean? Literally, olav a chiddush that kachin kadoshim sheshachtim beroish hamizbeach. It's keilu nishchata betzafin." But Rabbi Yossi had a third mahalach. He was bothered. V'chi olav atu zeveach. The purpose of the mizbeach is to shecht oilos and shlamim on top of the mizbeach. You don't shecht it on top of the mizbeach. Oilos abetzafin. Shlamim is bechalo azorah. It's not on the mizbeach. Elo, you know what olav means? Kishehu sholem v'loy kishehu chaser. It has to be Shalom, not chaser. Rashi says olav is like bishviloi. When there's a mizbeach, then it's vizavachta oilus v'shlamim. But if there's no mizbeach, then there's no vizavachta oilus v'shlamim. Either way, Rav heard that. Omar, he said, "Hainu krodesh tamid leidra." This must be the pasuk. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan had a little bit of a different version of this halacha of mizbeach shenifka. Echad zeh ve'echad zeh psula. That this halacha of mizbeach shenifkan is true not only if you shecht the animal while the mizbeach is nifkam, or you shecht the animal before the mizbeach became pogum, but you didn't complete yet the avodah. But even if someone is merely makdish an animal, he says harezu oila. So you have a carbon oila, and now the mizbeach is nifkam, even though you weren't makriv the carbon yet. The halacha is you're going to have the halacha of mizbeach shenifkam. So according to Rav, the only time the mizbeach shenifkam disqualifies a carbon is if you actually shechted the carbon. So if you shechted a carbon, now the mizbeach became nifkam, now you can't do the avodah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, even if you were only makdish the carbon, you didn't shecht the carbon, you were merely makdish it, and then the mizbeach became pogum, that's enough that you shouldn't be able to do the avodah. But my pligi, what's the machlik? Is Rav sava bali chayim ene nitchin. Rabbi Yochanan sava bali chayim nitchin. So we're familiar with the halacha of dochi, that once a carbon becomes pushed away, it becomes pasul. Even if later the psul goes away, it remains pasul forever. Rav held that a balchai, when an animal is alive, it can't become dochli. So even though when the mizbeach was nifkam, for the moment you weren't able to do the avodah, but being that the animal was alive, so there was no psul dochli. Now that the mizbeach was fixed, now you could shecht it and you could do the avodah. What's the problem? Rabbi Yechanan holds balichai nitchen. So once the animal became nitcha, after it became hektish, before the mizbeach became, when the mizbeach was pogo, so now even though you fix the mizbeach afterwards, there's no way to be able to bring it. Meaning the whole idea of mizbeach shenifka is related to the psul dachoy. Why is it related to the psul dachoy? Because the case of mizbeach shenifkam is where the mizbeach was pogum, but then you fixed it. Because if you didn't fix it, then this is all a moot point. You don't have the mizbeach, there's no way to do the avodah. So obviously we're discussing where you ended up fixing it. The question is, do you say that being that there was a time where you couldn't do the avodah, so it becomes dochle? So this shaila of whether you'd have the halacha mizbeach shenifkam for an animal that was merely hektish but wasn't shachal yet, l'chayrus talion, whether bali chayim nitchin or whether bali chayim ain't nitchin. Rav sava bali chayim ain't nitchin. That's why the halacha mizbeach shenifkam is only true if you already shechted. Rav Yechon knows bali chayim nitchin. Yisrael asks you a kasha. Kol hakachim shayu ad shlo nivna mizbeach. All the kachim that were around before the mizbeach was built, va'acha kach nivna hamizbeach psulin. And afterwards, the mizbeach was built, so the halacha is pasul. So the price is a little bit sasun, as we'll see. The Gemara is going to have 4 or 5 attempts to try to understand Pashup Shad and what the Brice is saying. But for now, the words of the Brice. So somebody had kachim. Before the Mizbeach, there was no Mizbeach, but he had kachim. Then they built the Mizbeach. The question is, can I now take this kachim and bring it as a carbon or not? That's what the Brice is addressing. Kol ha-kachim shahoyu actually nivna ha-mizbeach, va'acha kach nivna ha-mizbeach, psu, freit the Gemara, nivna t'chuyim e-karnin. Why should this be possible? Why in the world should this be an issue? Why should there be a problem with kachim that you were machdash before the mizbeach was built? Now that the mizbeach was built, any issue that you may have had, you don't have anymore. Elamai, you're going to tell me, because of psul dachoy. But this is already what's called dachoy me-karo. Meaning, in the sugyas of dachoy, there's a machloikas amayuroim, where there's something that was dachoy the moment it became hekdish, is subject to the psul dachoy or not subject to the psul dachoy. And being that it's a machloikas amayuroim, it's obvious that there's no mishnah or no brisa that says mefurish one way or the other. If you're going to tell me that the way you're supposed to read this brisa is literally that we're talking about kachim, that somebody was makdish before the mizbeach was built, and even if when the mizbeach is built later, it's still possible. So you see that something that's dochli meikar, like this,
because the moment you made it hektish, it was already dachoy. It was dachoy because there was no mizbeach to be makrivit on. So you see that something that's dachoy meikara is subject to the laws of dachoy, and we know it's a machlokes hameirud. Obviously, it can't be a mafurish of brisa. That must be that. That's not what this brisa means. Elo, you know how you read the brisa? Kol hakochim shahoyu actually neras hamizbeach. So this is going back to the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. Imagine that. So somebody had kachim at the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. Then the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The animal's still alive. It made it through Golus Bavel. Now there's already Bayesheni, and you want to go bring it now for Bayesheni. Maybe that's what the price is saying. That kachim that was around, not actually Nivna HaMizbeach, because that would be Dachi Meikar. It was around at the time of the Mizbeach. It wasn't Dachi Meikar. Then the Mizbeach was Chare, because the Beis HaMikdash was Chare. And now you want to bring it during Bayesheni. But the Gemara says, Ha'iskabu. How are you going to bring that? That's an old animal. And we know an animal can't be too old, two, three, whatever, depending on the animal. But it's called a Psozoke. This animal's for sure too old for you to be able to be Makrivit. Elo, you know what the Braisa probably means. Not actually, we're not talking about Churban by Yisrishayim. This is not a Master Shahaya Kachaya. That's not what's going on over here. Elo, actually, Nifkana Mizbeach. We're talking about someone was Makdish, a carbon. The Mizbeach was fine. Then it was Nifkam HaMizbeach. And then somebody fixed the Mizbeach. So what's the halacha? And still you see Psulin. Even though you didn't shecht it. It doesn't say you shechted it over here. So isn't this a raya to Rabbi Yochanan, Akasha and Rav? You see, the halacha of Mizbeach Shenifgam is true, even if the animal wasn't shechted, because Bali Chayim Nidchen. But isn't this a mefurish a raya to Rabbi Yochanan, not like Rav? So the Gemara says, Rav is going to tell you, this is a mefurish a braisa. This braisa, we did reconstructive surgery to this braisa. The braisa said one thing, you know, four renditions later, we finally have a braisa. V'lav terutze kam metarzis. We edited this braisa so much, no, edited a little bit more. You can add the word shenishchatu already, and you're right. The braisa is telling me halacha regarding mizbeach shenifkan. Even though the braisa doesn't say anything about shchita, the braisa doesn't say anything about mizbeach shenifkan either. So once you insert the words nifkamu, you might as well insert the word nishchatu as well. As a result, this braisa could shtim with anybody you want this braisa to shtim with. Frank the Gemara, Akasha. But I'll ask you something else. Could Rav really be so worried? Rav could be involved in this discussion of Mizbeach Shenifkam, Kol HaKochem Shenishchutu Sham Psulim? How does it stem with something else Rav said? From Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Mizbeach Shenekar, Maktirin K'toiris Bim Koimoi. If the Mizbeach was Nekar, obviously the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that's where the K'toiris was brought. So you can bring the K'toiris on the Mokam HaMizbeach. You don't physically have to bring the K'toiris on the Mizbeach, but you can bring it on the place where the Mizbeach was. So what do you see from there? That you don't even need the Mizbeach HaKtoiris to bring the Ketoiris. So how could you tell me that if the Mizbeach HaChitzoin is Nifkam, you're missing a little piece of the Mizbeach, that's it, all the Karbanos HaPasol. Why? Because you have no way of doing this Rika now. It's learned out from a Pasig, v'zavachta olavas ha'ilisecha v'ashlamecha. I'm not going to get into all the Brisk Olamvis, that if there's a Psul Dachli, so why do you even need a Pasig in the first place? Reb Chaim and the Brisk Rav. So we're not going to do that. But the bottom line is that the whole halacha seems to be predicated on the fact that if there was no Mizbeach, so there's no way to do this Rika, it's for that reason all the Karbanos are going to be Pasul. Question is, only the karbanos that were shachot, even the karbanos that weren't shachot, bali chayim nitchin, bali chayim ene nitchin, but it's predicated on the idea that if you're missing a corner of the mizbeach, so to speak, the whole mizbeach is off limits. Rav holds, you don't even need a mizbeach. Rav holds, you can bring the k'tiris where the mizbeach was. Mizbeach, not shenifkam, shenekar, the whole mizbeach was picked up and it was removed. Says Rav, bimak the k'tiris bim koimai. So you would think that if the mizbeach achitzin, not the same mizbeach, but if the mizbeach achitzin is missing a little piece, that shouldn't disqualify the whole avodah. Says the Gemara, you have to say k'dama Rav. Rav said moida hay Rav Yehuda bedamim hachanami moida Rav bedamim. Just like Rav Yehuda said, with regards to something else. What's that something else? It's going to take us into tomorrow's daf. We'll see that in a moment. But just like Rav Yehuda, Rav said with regards to something else, that Rav Yehuda was Moed B'damim, you'll have to say here too, that even though Rav holds that Mizbeach Shenekar Maktirin K'tiris Bim Koimai, it's only the K'tiris, it's not Damim. It's a Mizbeach, it's a Mokoim Haroi Lehaktara, but it's not a Mokam Haroi Ledamim, it's not a Mokam Haroi Lezrika. So it's true, you can remove the Mizbeach HaPnimi and you can bring the Ketiris. But if the Mizbeach HaChitzain is Nifgam, it knocks out the entire Mizbeach HaChitzain as it relates to Zrika. because Mokoyim HaMizbeach is like the Mizbeach, but only L'inyan HaKtara, not with regards to Zrika Excel. So before we go weiter, because although we're in the middle of a Cheshbon, but the Gemara is going to digress now completely, really into tomorrow's daf, to just one Ha'ara. So the Gemara mentioned over here a Braisa. The Braisa was very sussum, it was very ambiguous, not clear what the Braisa means. Kol HaKotchim Shehoyu Atchloi Nivna HaMizbeach V'achakach Nivna HaMizbeach Psulim. Ultimately, the Braisa said that the Braisa is referring to is the halacha of Mizbeach Shenifka. We thought we had a right to Rav Yechon, not like Rav. And the Gemara said, V'laf Terutzi Kometartzis, you don't have a right to anybody from this Braisa. It's not a Braisa you can bring Raya's to. Because this whole Braisa is very unclear, and we had to rework the Braisa. So, just like you can't ask kashas from this Braisa, you can't ask some Braisas in Shas that are just sort of off limits. You can't bring Raya's from them, you can't ask kashas from them. Clearly there was some mistake in this Braisa. This is an example of such a Braisa. But one of the attempts the Gemara made to explain the Braisa was maybe the Braisa is talking about somebody that had a carbon from Bayis Rishon. He was around by Bayis Rishon, had a Shepsala, he was Maktish it, he was going to bring it as a carbon. Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzradin, Galus Yechonya, Galus Sidkiyo, the whole nine yards, paras madai, and this animal amazingly makes it around to Bayashani. Now Bayashani comes along, he wants to bring this as a carbon. This was a carbon, he's been waiting for this day. Could you bring it or not? So the answer says, well, that's what the price is referring to. But Frank the Gemara, how could there be such a price? We know that an animal has to be of a certain age in order for it to be right for a carbon. Once it gets beyond that age, it's called Zokin, it's a psul zikna. So l'chura, this animal certainly is going to have a psul zikna. There's no animal that could be 70 plus years old and be roi lakrop. What happened to the psul zikna? Tosfos, and this Tosfos is on Nun Tes Amud Aleph. So Tosfos asks Akasha that if there's a psul zikna, how do you understand the following medrash? So it's not every day that Tosfos quotes a medrash. But Tosfos over here has a medrash in Devarim Rabbah, where the medrash says that when Shlomo HaMelech, B'yom Chanukas HaMishkan, brought Purim, he brought cows as part of his hakrava. The Gemara is going to talk soon about the amount of korbanos that Shlomo HaMelech brought. B'yom Chanukas HaMishkan, B'yom Chanukas HaBeis HaMikdash. So he brought Purim. Those Purim have a little history. Those were the same Purim that the Nevi'im that used to carry the Aron in the Mishkan. So you had Purim that used to carry the Aron when the Yidden were in the Midbar. Those same Purim were the Purim that Shlomo HaMelech brought. Freik Taisakasha. So zikna, I mean, these parim are hundreds of years old. How in the world is that possible? So it says, Tosfos, you have to say a Rosh Hashanah. And Chanami, ordinarily, it's something that would be possible. It must have been a Hirasha that in this case, it's going to be okay. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin in his Hagos Yavid says that, what's the beer? He says, the beer is probably very simple. This idea that an animal can't be old in order for it to be Roy as a carbon is not because there's some technical halacha that has to be of a certain age. Once you hit a certain age, so now you can drink, now you can drive, right? Now you can do certain things. That's not what it is. It's based on the animal itself. As an animal gets older, it becomes shvacher, and the Torah wants a young, fresh, gesunta animal to be brought on a car on the mizbeach. But an older animal, at that point already, it's not so right. Being that these animals miraculously were able to live hundreds of years, obviously they were made up of something else. Hashem performed a miracle. There was something supernatural about these parim that they were able to survive so long. But it sounds like they had frisha koiches. Oh, they had frisha koiches. So it says that Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, it's poshut, that's the reason it was going to be okay. It's the chiddush here is the fact that these parim were alive. But once you establish that this miracle took place, he says, I don't think it's so shver. It's a rush. I hear, but says Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, the svara is poshut. The svara is because the whole idea of the psul zikna is that there's something different physically about the animal. These animals were not physically different. Being that they weren't physically different, it makes perfect sense that this should be okay. And then Rabbi Yaakov Emdin concludes with a punchline. But before the punchline, a little bit of background. So yesterday we spoke a little bit about the Akedah. We spoke a lot about the Akedah. The emes is, there's a big kasha that the Rishonim and Achronim ask regarding Eloi Shel Yitzchak. And that's based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos from all places. Perikei Mishnah Ches. The Mishnah over there says, Asara Dvarim Nivru Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes. There were 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashes. The Elohim, Pia Oretz, Pia Be'er, Pia Asain, HaKeshes, Haman, Hamate, VaHashomer, HaKsav, HaMichto, VaHaluchas, VeYeshoimrim, Af HaMazikin, Ukfurase Shel Moshe, VeEloi Shel Avram Avinu, VeYeshoimrim, Af Tzvas, Betzvas Asuya. But one of the things mentioned in the Mishnah that was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes is Eloi Shel Avraham Avinu. Stellt sich die Frage, Eloi Shel Avraham Avinu was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes? If it was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes, then L'chura, when Avraham Avinu brought it as an Oila, it was already a Zakein. If it was a Zakein, what happened to the Psul? So the truth is, if you look at Rabbi Vadya Bar Tanura, if you look at the Rav on this Mishnah, so the Rav says, what does it mean that the Ayil was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes? It doesn't mean the Ayil itself. It means it was destined at that point that the Ayil would one day be Nechaz Besvach Bekarnov, and that it one day would be brought as a carbon, Tmuras Yitzchak. And instead of Yitzchak being brought as a carbon, it would be the Ayil that would be brought as a carbon. But not that it was literally created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. Why did the Rav say that? Maybe to answer this kasha, because otherwise you can have a Psul Zikna. But the Rav Bar Tanur is a very big Kiddush, even though the Rav Bar Tanur is to Mishnayos, like Rashi is to Gemara. That's the Pashup Shat. But really it's a Kiddush, because it's Midrashim that say clearly that the Ayil was created literally Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. What happened to the Psul Ziknos? Rabbi Yaakov Emden, right after he explains this Tosfos, this idea that the Parim that were around in the Midbar are the Parim that Shlomo HaMelech is bringing, he says, but this, he can answer this Kasha as well. How do you understand that Eloi Shel Avram Avinu was what? Was created Bein Hashmoshes? What happened to the Psul Ziknos? It's the same Teretz, because the whole Yisoid of the Psul Ziknos is it's Naslecha. It's all the Tshlach. And the idea is to bring a younger, healthier animal as a carb. This animal obviously was young and healthy. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been around so long. So being that it was anyways young and healthy, that's why it was okay. It's interesting, by the way, there's another significance, another connection between Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes of that first week of Brias HaOlam and the Akedah. And that is that Avraham Avinu goes to the Akedah and he rides on a donkey, on a chamor. Vayachvish es chamorei. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer and Perek Lamed Aleph says, this chamor that Avraham Avinu rode on, hu ha-chamor ben ha-asoin shenivris ben hashmoshes. So one of the things that was created, Erev Shabbos ben hashmoshes, was the pi ha-asoin. That's the pi ha-asoin of Parshas Balak fame, of the story of Bilam and the donkey. So says the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, the chamor that Avraham Avinu rode to the Akedah was the son, hu ha-chamor ben ha-asoin shenivris ben hashmoshes. It's interesting, the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer continues and says, "Hu achamar." That's also the chamar shirochav all of Moshe bevar leMitzrayim. When Moshe Rabbeinu took his family, he left his shver's house and he goes to Mitzrayim. Now that's going to be the aschal to the geula. So he rides on a donkey. That donkey was the same exact donkey that Avraham Avinu rode on. And then the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says, "Hu achamar shalasid ben David lerkavalov." This is the chamar that David HaMelech is going to ride on. Shenemar zechariah perik tes gibi ma'oid basiyo in hari basri shalayim hine malkech yavoy lach tzadik v'noicha ani v'roichav ala chamar. What's that chamar? Ani v'roichav ala chamar. It's the same chamar. So it's the chamar of Avraham Avinu by the Akedah. It's the chamar that Moshe Rabbeinu rides on when he goes to Mitzrayim. It's the chamar that Mashiach ben David is going to. I guess the connection is they're all related to Geula. The Akedah, of course, is the schus that escorts Klai Yisrael throughout the Golos. Moshe Rabbeinu going to Mitzrayim, that's the Aschal to the Geula. And Ani V'roichav Al HaChamar, that's Mashiach ben David. That, of course, is Geula. But what's the rest of the story? What's the history of this chamar? It's Ben Ha'asayin that was created Ben Hashmoshes. So the ayil that Avraham Avinu brought was from that Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes, and the chamar is the son of the asayin that was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes. Something to think about. Either way, so we mentioned over here Rabbi Yehuda, that just like Rabbi Yehuda was Moide Bedamim, so too, even though Rav said Mizbeach Sheneka Makdir and Ketaris Memkoimai, his Moide with regards to Damim. My Rabbi Yehuda, who's this Rabbi Yehuda? Tanya, we learned to the Braisa. Bayoy Mahu Kideish HaMelech Toichachotza. So Bayoy Mahu is referring to the day that Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash. And you have to see the Pasuk inside. The Pasuk is on the side. Bayoy Mahu Kideish HaMelech is Toichachotza Asher Lefnei Beis HaShem Ki Yosa Shom Es HaOilu Ves HaMincha Ves Chal Ve Yashlomim Ki Mizbach HaNechoshes. So what did Shlomo HaMelech do? He was Mekadish the Toichachotza. Sounds like he was Mekadish the Ritzba, the floor of the Azar. And the reason he did that is because the Mizbeach HaNechoshes was katan, it was too small. There was pasha no room on the Mizbeach to bring all the karbanas that Shlomo HaMelech brought. So being that the Mizbeach was too small, so he had no choice, he had to make an extension. The way Shlomo HaMelech made an extension was by sanctifying the floor of the Azara. Now that the Ritzvah Azara has Kedusha, so now you have an extension. You can bring karbanas on the floor. That's the way the Pasuk reads
literally. Says the Gemara, in fact, Dvarim kichsavon, divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that was what the pasuk means. It's very, very simple. Shlomo HaMelech's bringing karbanos, so many karbanos as we're going to see in a moment. There's no room on the mizbeach to burn all these karbanos. You can't wait till the next day. It's going to be nicer already. So what are you supposed to do? So he had to be mekadesh the ritzpah of the azara simply. Simply, so you should have room to do the haktarah. Amalei Rabbi Yossi said, I disagree. V'aloi kfar nema, the pasuk says, Ela foilis yalish shloim ala mizbeach ahu. It says that Shloim HaMelech brought 1,000 oilis. Now this pasuk of Elav Oilis Yalash Shloima, contrary to what people think, this is an often quoted pasuk. Elav Oilis Yalash Shloima is not referring to the Yom Chanukah Samizbeach. To the contrary, it's referring to before the Beis HaMikdash was built. A few years before the Beis HaMikdash was built, when there was a Mishkan in Givvain, Shloima HaMelech brought 1,000 Oilis one day. Now that Mizbeach that he brought the Elav Oilis on was the Mizbeach that Yidden had in the Mishkan. That Mizbeach that they had in the Midbar, in the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu Bitzalel's Mizbeach, was on that Mizbeach that he went ahead and he brought 1,000 Oilis. Okay, and that was okay. There was room for it. There was room to bring 1,000 Oilis on that one day. Either way, they say, well, man, now, when Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beis HaMikdash, how many Karbanos did he bring? Harei Yoyim, the Pasuk says, Vayizbach Shlomo Yezevach HaShlomim Asher Lashem, Bokar Esrim Vishnayim Elef, 22,000 Bokar. The Gemara doesn't complete the Pasuk. Vitzoin Meyo Ve'esrim Elef, and 120,000 Tzoin. Vayachnechu Es Mizbach, Es Beis HaShem HaMelech, V'chol Bnei Yisrael. So there were 22,000 bakar and 120,000 sign. 22,000, 120,000 is 142,000. So says the Gemara like this. Says Rabbi Yossi, on the old Mizbeach, Shlomo HaMelech was able to bring 1,000 oilers. Now, how much did he bring? A lot more than 1,000. He brought 142,000. But says, meaning 142 times the amount of karbanos. But says Rabbi Yossi, if you do the math, it's going to come out, zeh gadol mizeh. Really, there's more space on the new Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech built than on the Mizbeach and the Choshes from Shlomo, from Moshe. And Rashi makes the cheshbon. Rashi says that the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was 5 amas by 5 amas. But if you make a cheshbon of how much place there was to actually burn karbanos, meaning you have to minus the kronos, etc., you can end up with 1 amah. It was 1 amah by 1 amah. That's how much space there was. And on 1 amah by 1 amah, Shlomo HaMelech was able to bring 1,000 oilers. The Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech built for the Beis HaMikdash was much bigger. If you make the cheshbon of how much space there was to do Akhtara, it's 20 amas by 20 amas. 20 by 20, that's 400 square amas. As opposed to 1 by 1, which is 1. That means, in terms of space, where you have to bring karbanos, you have 400 times the amount of space on the new Mizbeach than you had on the old Mizbeach. If Shlomo HaMelech was able to easily bring 1,000 oilers on the old Mizbeach, he should have been able to bring 400,000 oilers back to the envelope arithmetic on the new Mizbeach. How many did he bring? 142,000. There should have been enough space for it. It should have been a problem. Even though 142,000 sounds like a big number, but at the same time, if you do the math, if he was able to bring 1,000 on the Mizbeach, Nechayshus of Moshe Rabbeinu, why couldn't he bring 142,000 over here? So it says, Rabbi Yossi, I disagree with you, Rabbi Yehuda. The Psokim are not Kichsovim. They're not supposed to be taken literally. What does it mean that the Mizbeach was too small? It means something completely different. We're not talking about the new Mizbeach. We're talking about the old Mizbeach. The old Mizbeach, Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, was deemed to be too small, too short, so to speak. It's like somebody will say about someone else, you know, he's nanos, he's too small, he can't do the avoida. He's not really too small, he's really puzzle. But we want to be fine, we don't want to say he's puzzle. So we say he's too small from doing it. It's in the same vein that the Torah, at that point, Shlomo HaMelech had disqualified Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. Up until that point, any time a carbon was brought, it was brought on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. They had it in the Midbar, they had it all the years that they were in the Mishkan, and Shiloh, and in Noiv, and Givvain. But now that Mizbeach was going to be possible. So instead of saying the Mizbeach was rendered possible, what do we say? It was said that it was too small. But really, we're not talking about the new Mizbeach, because the new Mizbeach wasn't too small. The new Mizbeach was able to handle at least 400,000 oilers. And all they brought was 142,000. So in truth, there's been a problem. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Shapa, come Rabbi Yossi. Didn't Rabbi Yossi make a good cheshbon? How could Rabbi Yehuda hold that the new Mizbeach was too small? If the old Mizbeach was able to bring 1,000, why can this handle 142,000? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda l'tameitz, Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasai, and Rabbi Yossi l'shitasai, a whole other b'raisa. That Moshe Rabbeinu
Rabbeinu's mezech was really much. Time run to the brayso. Chamish shamis oirich, the chamish shamis roich. Dvar because of the Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi holds that the mezbeach achitzoin that was in the Mishkan was 5 amos by 5 amos. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Even though that's what it says, it's not what it means. Nemakan ravua and nemalhal ravua. It says ravua over here, and it says ravua in a pasuk in Yecheskel when Yecheskel's describing a mezbeach. Now usually you think that Yecheskel's nevuah is about the Beis Hamikdash or referring to the Bayis HaShlishi. There's an interesting Rashi here. Rashi says it's referring either to Bayis Sheni or to Bayis Shlishi. It's not Bayis Rishon because Yecheskel lived at the end of Bayis Rishon. So it's either describing Bayis Sheni or Bayis Shlishi. But regardless, in that context, it says the word Revuah. Just like all the measurements that Yecheskel was discussing, you were supposed to measure from the middle, meaning it's that measurement from the middle in each direction, the Gemara will explain. So too, when we say that the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was 5 amos by 5 amos, it means from the middle of the Mizbeach it was 5 amos. So if you're at the midpoint, you can go 5 amos in each direction, meaning it's not 5 by 5. It's really 10 by 10. What do you see in Yecheskel? That all Yecheskel's measurements are from the middle. The Chsiv, the Ha'ariel, Shteim Esrei Amo. It says the Ariel is Shtei Masrei Yama. B'Shtei Masrei Roichav Ravua El Arbas Revav. So it says Shtei Masrei Oirech B'Shtei Masrei Roichav Ravua El Arbas Revav. So the Brisa explains. When it says Shtei Masrei, it means L'chol Ruach. Oyein El Yud Beis El Yud Beis. Maybe it means the entire area is 12 by 12. K'shoim El Arbas Revav Melameit Shemei Emtza Hu Moedin. In all directions, it's 12. So it's, even though it says 12, it's really 24. So to over here, even though it says 5, it's really 10. If it's 10 by 10, then the area of the Marocha of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach was much bigger. It didn't just have one Amma. Rashi says the Cheshbon is, if you do the math, it's going to end up with 6 Ammas. So it's 6 by 6, which is 36 Ammas. If that's the case, how much bigger is Shlomo HaMelech's new Mizbeach versus Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach? Moshe Rabbeinu's is 6 by 6. That's 36. Shlomo HaMelech's is 20 by 20. Which is 400. 400 is approximately 11 times bigger than 36. 36 times 11 is going to be 396. So it's approximately 11 times bigger. If that's the case, then you have a cheshbin that if Moshe Rabbeinu's Bizbeach can handle 1,000 oilas, then Shlomo should be able to handle at least 11 times more than that, which is 11,000. How much did it handle? 142,000. That's what the Yehuda's time know. Yehuda says, no way it could have done that. That's what the Pasuk means. It was too small. And that's why Shlomo HaMelech had to be Mekadesh, the Ritzpah of the Azara. Says the Gemara of Rabbi Yossi. Does Rabbi Yossi not hold of the Gzeri Shava, Ravua, Ravua? Rabbi Yehuda had a Gzeri Shava, that even though it says the Mizbeach was 5 by 5, really it was 10 by 10. How does he come to 10 by 10? Because he has a Gzeri Shava. He has a Gzeri Shava between the word Ravua that it says there in the Parsha and the word Ravua that it says by Yecheskel. What about Rabbi Yossi? He also holds the Gzeir Shava, but he holds the Gzeir Shava was applied to the height. Rabbi Yossi, he gomer Gzeir Shava begoyvah hu degomer. And it's not Ravua Ravua from the Mizbeach Achitzin of the Mishkan to Yecheskel's Mizbeach, but rather it's Ravua Ravua, the Gzeir Shava is to a different place, to the Mizbeach HaPnimi of the Mishkan. It's from the Mizbeach Achitzin in the Mishkan to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and it teaches me Halacha regarding the height. The Tanya went to the Brayis, Shalosh Amos Kemasai, Dvarim Kichsav, and Divi Rabbi Yehuda. The Pasuk says that the Mizbeach Achitzin was supposed to be 3 amos tall. Rabbi Yehuda says, literally. Here, Rabbi Yossi says, Nemakan Ravua, he's the one that has the Gzeir Shava. Venema Lahalan Ravua, Ma Lahalan Gavi Pishnaim Karka, just like by the Mizbeach HaPnimi where it says Ravua. The height was twice the length and the width, because the Mizbeach HaPnimi was 1 amma, it was very small. It was 1 amma by 1 amma, and the height was 2 ammas. So the ratio between the height and each one of its walls was 2 to 1. Afkan Pishnaim Karkai. So too says Rabbi Yossi, here too it had to be 2 times. And being that what was the square, according to Rabbi Yossi, of the Mizbeach HaChitzin, it was 5 by 5. Rabbi Yehuda held it was 10 by 10. Rabbi Yossi held it was 5 by 5. And the height had to be 2 times that. So the height is going to end up being 10. And that's what Ravu Ravu teaches me. Sokta Gemara. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda. Va'loi kfar nemar v'sachotzer meya amo v'koy mechom yishams. According to you, Rabbi Yossi, it comes out that the height of the Mizbeach HaChitzin was double the measurements of its walls. And being that the length and the width, it was a square, was 5, so the height was 10. You know that Ravua Ravua, that's what you use Ravua Ravua for. I, Rabbi Yossi, use Ravua Ravua to tell me that it wasn't 5 by 5, it was 10 by 10, just like by Yecheskel, Me'am Tziyasi HaYomayidi. You use Ravua Ravua to teach you a halacha regarding the height of the Mizbeach. That just like the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the height was 2 times, it was a 2 to 1 ratio, so to the height of the Mizbeach HaChitzin is a 2 to 1 ratio as well. So if the Mizbeach HaChitzin is a square 5 by 5,
The height is going to be 10 amas. The pasuk says v'sachotzer me'ya amah v'koy mechamish me'amos, that the height of the chotzer that surrounded the Mishkan was 5 amas. The mizbeach we're saying now was 10 amas. If that's the case, efshe koyin oimer agabi mizbeach, the koyin was standing on the mizbeach doing the haktara, v'avoyde b'yadai cholam ra'in oisei b'chotzer. Everybody sees him doing it, and for some reason Rabbi Yehuda doesn't like it. Rabbi Yehuda says, it doesn't make sense. What, everybody sees the Kohen doing the Avodah B'Rosh on his Mizbeach? Maybe Tznius. It doesn't make sense. I'm not comfortable with that. Meaning, if the height of the Chatzar is 5 Amos, and the height of the Mizbeach is 10 Amos, and the Kohen is standing on top of the Mizbeach, obviously doing what he needs to do, so you could see right in. That means the Yidden could be standing outside. You don't even need binoculars. It's so simple. You can just stand clearly, and you know exactly what's... And Rabbi Yehuda says, I have a fundamental problem with that. I'm only Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef told Rabbi Yehuda, I disagree with you. What are you... No way. You're right. The pasuk says that the koima, the height of the kalei achatzer, of the eerie that surrounded the chatzer, the curtains that surrounded the chatzer, were 5 amas. But was it really 5 amas? V'aloik v'arnem v'es kalei achatzer v'es masach shara achatzer asher ala mishkon v'ala mizbeach. That the purpose of the klaim was to surround the kroshim that surrounded the Mishkan. Now, how tall were the kroshim? Not Mishkan Yud Amis. The kroshim themselves were 10 Amis. Af Mizbeach Yud Amis. It is no way that these klaim were any shorter than the kroshim. And if the kroshim were 10 Amis, then the klaim must have been 10 Amis as well. But Imran, the pasuk says, by the way, Rabbi Yosi continues, it says, klaim chamesh esrei amah el hakosef. It says clearly that the klaim were 15 Amis. So, your whole kash is predicated that you have a pasuk somewhere that says that the kali achatzer are 5 amas. If I hold the mizbeach is 10 amas, the kohen that's standing at the mizbeach, everybody could see in. And it's not mashma that everybody should be able to see in while the kohen is doing the avodah. But says Rabbi Yosef, let's take 2 steps backwards. You're right, the pasuk says that the kali achatzer is 5 amas. But at the same time, could it really be 5 amas? Number one, the kroshim and the mishkan were 10 amas. The chura, the kali achatzer, have to be at least the height of the kroshim and the mishkan. And besides, Abba Pasuk that says the kali achatzer were 15 namas. So how do you make sense of all this? Very simple. The answer is very simple. Ma tamo loimer hey amas, it means misfas mizbeach ulamayla. Very geschmack. It's lishitosi. I hold that the mizbeach was 10 amas, just like the mishkan. And the kali achatzer were really not 5 amas, 15 amas. So when you have that one pasuk that says 5 amas, a little misleading. But what it means is it's 5 amas from the sfas amizbeach. Bottom line is, u ma tamo loimer v'sholish amas kumas. Rabbi Yosi explained, if the mizbeach was really 10 amas tall, he learned that from the Gzeira Shavu Ravua, that had to be 2 times. Then what does the pasuk mean when it says Sholish Amish Kemas? It means Misfas Soiviv Ulamayla. The Soiviv, which was at the 6 amma point of the Mizbeach, up until the Kronos, which made up the last amma, the distance between 6 and 9 is 3, that's what it's referring to. Rabbi Yehuda, what did he do with the Gzeira Shavu Ravua? So we had that already. Andun Tesam and Beis. Kigam Exeri Shava. Berachba Huda Kagamer. He learned Exeri Shava. The Gemara is just hazarding this point, not to teach me the height of the Mizbeach Achitzin. He didn't learn it from the Mizbeach Apnimi, but rather he learned it from the Mizbeach of Yechazkel. Rabbi Yehuda. Hakam is Chazik Kayin. Why is Rabbi Yehuda not worried about the fact that you could see the Kayin? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the height of the Chatzar, of the curtains of the Chatzar, was really only 5 amps. And the Mizbeach was 3 amas. The koyin is standing on top of the mizbeach. Shouldn't you be able to see in? So Gemara says, yeah, you could see in a little bit, but nehi the koyin mischazi avoided the biyada loy mischazi, because there isn't that. It's 5 amas is the kaliachat. So the koyin, the mizbeach is 3 amas. The koyin standing. So yeah, that you could see the koyin's head. You could see part of the koyin, but you can't actually see the avoida. Rabbi Yehuda had a problem because according to Rabbi Yosi, the mizbeach was 10 amas, and his shita that the kaliachat is only 5 amas. The koyin standing on top of the mizbeach, you'd be able to see everything. That's something Rabbi Yehuda had a problem with. But this, in and of itself, was not something that Rabbi Yehuda had a problem. Just to end off on a light note, for 2 minutes, and that is, we mentioned the Elef Oilus that Shlomo HaMelech brought as a carbon. So you all know the Gemara. It's a well-known Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechtis Makis. It's a Gemara Masechtis Makis. You know, we'll stop there. We'll pick up this tomorrow.